Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning to you. If you're waking up on a Wednesday, it is your hump day. Well, if you're waking up on a Wednesday and it's the middle day of the work week because you work Monday through Friday, I feel like I should post all those caveats because whatever your normal is, it could very well be something atypical or unconventional like what we do here. For those of you who are working late night or overnight, this is the hump show, middle show of the work week. Thanks as always for your questions that you post on Twitter and Facebook for Ask Amy Anything. I do always go back and answer some of the quick ones. So some of the ones that require stories, I can't get to those, but on social media, there are some that I can answer pretty quickly. And so I do very often go back and answer them. So you can check that out on either Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page. And again, I appreciate your interest. It's crazy because we've been doing Ask Amy Anything now for 6 years, six of the 7 years that I've been here with CBS Sports Radio. And I feel like we're getting more questions now than we were at the beginning. More and more people finding the show and more people getting bold with their questions, which is great. We've got a question for you on this show. And my intent is not to pile on Alex Rodriguez. Actually, I have given you the reasons why I feel like we should have some empathy for him as someone who has traveled a lot for work in the past, as someone who has spent months and months primarily living out of a suitcase, commuting, you know, 100 miles plus to work, as someone who often is away from family. I will take items of sentimental value. I often travel with a laptop. When I go to the site of the Super Bowl, I take my laptop with me. Many of us travel with devices or with cameras, and it's not that crazy to think that he would have valuables with him when he spends long periods of time away from home. Now, you may not be able to identify with the fact that he had a $200,000 watch or something crazy like that, but I mean, that's his life, right? I mean, he's got a lot of money. His fiance has a lot of money, so they probably get each other expensive gifts. That we can't begrudge him that. I'm sure that pro athletes are targeted, rich people are targeted, and that he was a bit of a sitting duck in his rented SUV, not to mention he's a very well-known figure. And so I kind of feel bad for him. So we're not piling on, but I'm wondering what's the most expensive item you have in your car? Because I have a 5-year-old satellite radio. I have a 10-year-old GPS, a Garmin that I wish someone would steal. I use it because I don't like using my phone when I'm driving. And I the sentimental items, they're not worth any money, but I have a pair of license plates from when I lived in New Hampshire and had my first, well, they were hand-me-down cars, but they were my first cars. Both Nissan Sentras, by the way. They were cheap. They were like tin cans. They didn't have air condition, but they were mine. Anyway, so there's not a whole lot in my car. In fact, the car itself is worth more to me than anything I would have in the car. But I have traveled before with laptops or other items that I wouldn't want to lose. And I always put them in the trunk. I get pretty nervous about traveling to a different place. And so I kind of feel bad for him. So is there something of sentimental value or something expensive in your car? We promise not to use your full name on the air, though it is cracking me up a little bit that some of you are posting on Facebook with your full names out there. And let's just hope none of your friends or frenemies are watching. So again, on Twitter or on Facebook, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. If you missed it earlier in the show, in fact, the first hour of the show, we got up close and personal with the Cleveland Indians, who did lose in extras on Tuesday evening to the Red Sox in the 10th inning, but they're still 43-18 the last 9 weeks of the season, which is the best record in the majors over that time. The Minnesota Twins won on Tuesday night, so they've kind of flip-flop in first place there, but you know that's going to be a battle through the end of the regular season. So we had a chance to talk to a Cleveland insider, James Rapine, right? Yes. From 92.3 The Fan. And I want to make sure I said his last name right. So we asked him not just about the run that they're on, but also whether or not the Indians are getting as much attention as the Browns. His answer is kind of funny. And then we got a great update on Carlos Carrasco as well, who is battling leukemia, but really wants to come back and play baseball this season, which would be incredible. And so make sure you check that out. On our Facebook page or Twitter, we always post the link to our podcast that's updated every weekday morning, and we'll be sure to put the links up to that conversation. All of our interviews are podcasted separately. It's something that jumped out at me, which I didn't realize the timing lined up so perfectly. This run by the Indians goes back to the first week in June. Carlos Carrasco announced that he'd been diagnosed with leukemia the first week in June. And so if you're looking for some inspiration, some way to trace it back, some reason why the Indians dug down deeper and played not just to their abilities, but as a team had that synergy where the sum is greater than the individual parts. And that makes sense to me. As human beings, that kind of inspiration can be powerful, whether it's in our families, whether it's in sports, when there's someone that we care about, someone that we love, who's going through a really difficult time, and you see that person having to battle a disease or some other adversity they have to get through. Often, it brings out the best in us. We see that person working hard. We see that person suffering. We see that person giving it everything they've got. And literally, it's a life and death situation. And so we want to be worthy of that person, of that loved one, of that teammate. So that makes a lot of sense. It's one of those unquantifiable elements. And yet, that kind of inspiration is extremely powerful. Carlos is a teammate that they love, and they want to be worthy of him while he's going through this fight. So that was something interesting. I hadn't realized the timing lined up like that. So I hope you'll check out that conversation. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Have the Mets reached the end of their road? Sounds so melodramatic, doesn't it? But these New York Mets, who had won 15 of 17 getting to the weekend and had two really dramatic comebacks against the Nationals on Friday and Saturday, have now dropped two games in a row. The last one against the Nationals, which was Sunday, and then the first game against the Atlanta Braves. So back-to-back losses isn't anything to panic over. The issue is in the NL wild card, it's extremely tight. And so back-to-back losses can drop you three or four spots in the NL wildcard standings. With the Atlanta Braves, though, I feel like even though they're on top of the NL East, they aren't getting as much attention as these teams, the other teams that are streaking. So teams like the Dodgers, for obvious reasons, the Yankees, for what they've done. Certainly the Houston Astros, the moves they made on their pitching staff. And yes, the Mets, because they came back from the dead. The Indians, same thing. And here are the Atlanta Braves, who've got this incredible collection of young talent. Certainly their pitching staff has got some holes, but gosh, raise your hand if you root for a team in the majors that has holes on their pitching staff or in their bullpen. That's fairly common. So the Braves are kind of flying under the radar, even though they are the defending NL East champs. And this series against the New York Mets is an opportunity for them to remind people who's actually on top of the division standings.
Acuna hits one well to deep left field. He just branded his name on this thing. Deep to left field and into the seats for a home run. Rounds the bases after his 34th home run of the year. What power by this young man. And it's 4-1 Braves.
Jim Powell with the call on the Braves Radio Network. So they get to Zach Wheeler of the Mets early and often. So 5 innings pitched for him, and he had gone 15 innings, which isn't a huge sample, but he'd been pitching so much better since he got healthy again. He'd gone 15 innings without giving up a run, but that ended in the first inning against the Braves, and actually he allows 5 runs on 12 hits, including that 34th dinger by Ronald Acuna in the 4th inning. And so they chased him, and while the Mets put a couple of runs on the board, this wasn't the dramatic stuff that we've seen from New York. So I kind of feel like the Braves, they held serve, and they could very well in this series smash some of the excitement of the New York Mets. But just because they're doing what they've done most of the season, it doesn't mean they don't recognize how important this series is.
You win the first one, you got a chance to win the series. So they're playing really well, and they pitch really, really well. And, you know, they've got all their guys, and they're hitting on all cylinders, and it's a tough series.
Brian Snicker of the Atlanta Braves. So they're protecting that lead atop the NL East right now. They're still clear by 6 games against the Nationals, who continue to play well. I don't know, they've gotten lost in the shuffle because they also had a pretty amazing run going into the All-Star break that got them back into contention. But yeah, the wild card standings are just so tight. 4 of the 5 teams in the NL East, part of the playoff conversation. So right now the Nationals have a game lead over the Cardinals. It's a game and a half back to the Brewers. And then the Phillies and the Mets have the exact same record, 2 back. And then the parade of NL West teams in there, the Reds are still technically alive. So that's the issue, is you can drop back-to-back games and all of a sudden you're behind 3 different teams in the wild card standings. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. We'll do a little more of the Major League Baseball. Can I just say, I never, ever, 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 ever need to see another game between the Yankees and Orioles as long as we both shall live. Ever. What? Can they please be done? It's now 15 wins in a row. 15 wins in a row by the Yankees against the Orioles. Please tell me they've played almost all of their 19 games this season. They've got 2 left. 2 left in this series, and then they're done? Or are they 2 left at some other point in the year? Oh, my gosh.
Tomorrow's the last one.
I cannot stand it anymore. Wait, no, so now you're telling me there's only 1 more.
Yeah, it's tonight. They played 18 games.
Okay, so Wednesday night, this is it. It's the last that we have to see of Yankees and Orioles. This has been the most lopsided season series of any that I can remember in a really long time. And it took 1 pitch for DJ LeMahieu to hit a home run against the Orioles. That's, oh my gosh, they just know it's coming. Anyway, they piled on, and now they've won 15 in a row against the Orioles. It just, ick. So if you think about it, let's just say the Orioles had won half of those games. Half of them. They might look a little different. They actually might have a better record than the Kansas City Royals or the Seattle Mariners if it weren't for the fact that they had to play the Yankees 19 times. Can you imagine what a big disappointment it will be if the Yankees lose the last one? But it'll be like the Orioles just won the World Series, for heaven's sakes. Yeah, I can't even watch anymore. It's like a train wreck. I don't even want to see it. All right. I wouldn't rather watch someone lose something out of their car. That was not well thought out. It's our hump show. You'll have to forgive me. What is the most expensive item in your car or the most sentimental item in your car? You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Some of you guys are cracking me up with your fishing equipment, your guns. I mean, as long as you're following the laws, great. But gosh, I don't know that I leave anything of value in my car. I get a little nervous about that. Someone said something about his wife with a credit card. Come on. As long as your wife can drive, I think she's all set.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
One, two. Swing and a miss. Strike 3. Got him on a changeup. And there is the 2,000th strikeout in the career of Chris Sale. There's a drive hammer to right field deep, down the line, way back, and it is gone. Home run, JBJ, and the Red Sox lead it 7-6.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The Boston Red Sox get a victory in extra innings against the Cleveland Indians, and Chris Sale with a milestone moment, not to mention Major League Baseball history, his 2,000th strikeout, quickest to get to that plateau. Joe Castiglione on the Red Sox radio network. And so the Red Sox, even though they're certainly not playing up to the level that they did last year when they were, I mean, they were overwhelmingly the World Series favorite as we got to October. They are still the defending champs, and they're not out of it. But even going back to the trade deadline when their own general manager, Dave Dombrowski, indicated it's not close enough for me to believe that making a move here or there is going to be enough help. Frankly, we just need to play better. And I agree with him. I mean, right now, there are only... This is not technically, mathematically, but legitimately right now, there are only three teams that are part of the American League wildcard race. The Red Sox could get back into it, but they've fallen 8.5 games back of the Rays for that second wild card, and the A's continue to play well. And so they're the team that's in between there with three games back. So they're not out of it, but they've made this a really difficult mountain to climb. At this point, you take every win you can get, right? And it's weird, too, with the Red Sox because it's essentially the same roster as the one they had last year. A couple of changes here or there. Obviously, the bullpen's been brutal. I mean, just brutal. And again, raise your hand if you root for a team that has a terrible bullpen. I mean, that's pretty common in Major League Baseball right now. The Red Sox has been one of the worst for the bulk of the season. But they get that victory over the Cleveland Indians, which is huge, big moment for Chris Sale. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Stop me if you've heard this before. The Dodgers hit more home runs, and the Dodgers win again. I feel the same way about Dodgers Marlins as I do about Yankees Orioles. We don't need to see any of that. In fact, you've got the best and worst teams in the National League right now playing in a series. Is it possible just to call those walkovers? I know that's not possible. This is real sports. It's professional sports. We don't do any mercy rule type of things. Not even in the preseason, which I kind of feel like we should. But it's just some of this stuff. Whoa. It's like you're watching a professional team and then you're watching a minor league team. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4227. What is the most expensive or sentimental item that's in your car right now? Put yourself in A-Rod shoes. What would you not want to lose out of your car? Caesar says he leaves his AirPods in the car. AirPods are those things you stick in your ear. I can't. Ask Chris. I gave him the pair of AirPods that I got at the Super Bowl. It was like a gift, a media gift. And I feel like something's wrong if I only have those little things sticking out of my ear. I can't use them. Do you like them, Chris?
Oh, yeah. I use them when I go running.
You go running?
Yeah. Contrary to popular belief,
No, it's not popular belief. You've never mentioned it. I didn't know you went running.
I know. I may not look like I go running
I
do.
No, that's not what I meant. Stop it. I just meant you never mention it. Like, I talk about going running sometimes and running half marathons. I didn't know you were. I thought you went to the gym.
Oh, I do, but I like to run outside. I have a lake across the street from my apartment. I like to run.
Well, I would run there, too. All right. Well, cool. I'm glad you like the AirPods. Again, that was not meant to be an insult, Brian. Thank you. You'd never mentioned it. I feel like runners, they kind of mention it. We have a secret misery society where we run and we tell people how miserable we were. Tony is in Louisiana. Tony, welcome to After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
Morning, Amy.
Good morning.
Currently, my post-workout breakfast, if anybody would take, I would probably be disappointed. But long-term, I have a very, very expensive sunglass collection that you made me realize that I probably should thin out a little bit.
You have a collection that's in your car?
Yeah, you got to match, you know. You got the match, and sunglasses are kind of expensive these days if you bought any, you know.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And now that I think about it, I live in Louisiana, so we don't have a major league team. Mm-hmm. So I have like 30-something major league teams that I root for, depending on who's winning at the time. And, you know, those hats are pretty expensive going to the ballparks, and I keep about 30 of them in the truck. So
wow.
Definitely going to start thinning through some of these things and taking them down.
I mean, you and A-Rod, you have a lot in common. You travel with all your special belongings.
Just the only thing we don't have in common is probably bank accounts.
I mean, come on, let's not assume. These are probably all gifts from Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much. Long time listener, Amy.
Cool. Good to talk to you, Tony. Thanks for the phone call in Louisiana. 855-212-4227. Some of you guys, I'm kind of nervous for you. You actually do have some pretty sentimental items in your car. Betsy says, most sentimental, my dad's dog tag. He served in the Navy for 37 years and passed away last year. I would be heartbroken for Betsy if that got stolen. We had a guy earlier who tweeted us who said his dad's dog tags were stolen out of his car. Oh my gosh, that makes me nervous. James says the most valuable thing in my car is my sunglasses. Now, see, here's the difference between me and all the rest of you cool people. I only buy cheap sunglasses because I'm pretty much guaranteed to lose or break a half dozen pair per year. So I only buy cheap ones because I'm either going to drop them, sit on them, lose them. Like in Cuba, one of their screws came out. So thankfully, one of the Cubans, he was a mechanic. So he had one of those little screwdrivers. He could put them back together for me. But I have the worst luck with sunglasses, so I do not buy expensive ones. Let's see. Jason says, I have a pocket notepad that was in my late dad's vehicle. Every time I get a newer car, I move it to the new one. Mark says, my golf clubs, I would cry if they were stolen. Walt says, during hunting season for at least 4 months, I keep all my gear from clothes to crossbow and guns in my car at all times. I'd be devastated if they came up missing. I mean, you guys, stop this. Stop telling us this. Stop this. I think Aaron's got the right idea. He says, my spare tire is the most expensive thing in my car. yeah, I mean, I kind of feel bad for A-Rod. I hope this is giving you some empathy for Alex Rodriguez. Brad Heller is here in studio. Brad, I have a very important question for you. Are you ready?
Okay.
Is it your birthday?
Yep.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Why are you not more excited about it?
I'm very excited.
He sounds excited, doesn't he? He sounds about
as the day goes along, I'll get more excited.
Oh, it's just us that you're not excited for.
Correct.
I get on Brad's case a lot. Like, Brad, how come I get grumpy, grouchy, no smile Brad in the morning and everyone else gets like the happy, personable Brad? And his answer is always, I didn't drink coffee yet.
It is 5:30 in the morning local time, so I'm still waking up. But thank you for the birthday
wish. Uh-huh. No, sure. I'm glad. I'm glad that we could add to your mirth this morning. So I wasn't sure if it was your real birthday or a half birthday, because I know you're pretty religious about celebrating half birthdays as well.
Yes, my half birthday is Valentine's Day.
Oh, well, how could I forget that? What's the most expensive thing in your car? Let's tell everyone.
Well, I don't drive. So does that?
Oh, you don't have a car at all?
No, because I live in the city, so I had to give up my car.
Well, that's one way to prevent having things stolen out of your car. That would ruin your birthday, wouldn't it?
That would ruin my birthday.
Are you doing anything fun for your birthday?
I'm getting out of town
today.
Out of town today. I'm going away for a few days.
Where are you going?
Going to the beach.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Now, see, that produced a half a smile on the face of Brad Heller.
I'll be smiling at the beach.
Huh.
That's
well,
for sure.
Happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
I won't sing because then I know you would really be grouchy. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Antonio Brown is back. We can all praise Jesus.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Antonio Brown, the wide receiver, has resurfaced. Not Antonio Brown, the social media star, or Antonio Brown, a.k.a. Mr. Big Chest Brown. No, the actual wide receiver, the guy who plays football. The one who got the nice new contract and guaranteed money from the Raiders. That guy! Oh, but he still has some nasty feet. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Antonio Brown did, in fact, show up at Raiders camp in Napa with his agent on Tuesday. Now, he's not practicing yet, but he's indicated that it's close. The next step is, in fact, for him to get out there and work with his teammates. Let's hope it's not that far away because, come on, it's time to put all the rest of the crap behind him and move forward, do what the Raiders are paying him to do.
A lot better, you know, working towards 100%. You know, it's been a process with the feet. Anytime, you know, you got a lot of blisters and, you know, it's hard to change direction, cut and run and be able to do what I do naturally. But I'm a start from the good foot. I've been away getting a lot of work, so I'm excited to just move forward.
I haven't had a chance to watch episode 2 of Hard Knocks because it was taping on my DVR when I was coming to work. But I'm looking forward to watching it today. And I understand that John Gruden was the star of the show. Now, unless somebody tells me differently, what I saw on Twitter is that the whole helmet issue with Antonio Brown was not addressed. So did you watch it, Brian? Chris, did you watch it?
Yeah, I watched it. They brought it up. I don't know how much they could really get into it, but they brought it up for sure, yeah.
What'd they say about it? Well, who's they? Who brought it up?
The NFL Films people, or the HBO people, actually, that were doing, they were basically saying Antonio Brown had the helmet problem. They showed a clip from NFL Network of them talking about it, and they showed John Gruden basically saying he cares about his helmet, but who cares?
So that's it. There was no Antonio Brown talking about it.
No, the only thing that we saw from Antonio was
the
when
feet.
He was sitting down. He said, you want to see them?
No.
And they said yes, and then he shows his feet again.
But that wasn't at training camp, though. I read somewhere that wasn't at camp.
It was on a field. It looked like it was at camp. It was on a grass field, so I'm assuming it's at camp, but
no, I'm read not somewhere sure. online that they actually talked to him when he wasn't at camp. He was somewhere else. He wasn't at camp.
Regardless, it was disgusting.
Yeah, no, I've seen it already. I've been blindsided by it, so no. So anyway, the helmet issue, they're trying to come up with creative ideas. And right now, after having put it out there on social media, Brown and his camp believe they've found a newer model of the helmet that was outdated. So it's a particular model they're looking for. They wanted one that was manufactured after 2010. So it's still within the 10-year window. However, it also has to be certified under safety regulations by the organization that checks all the helmets. So there's no guarantee that even if he gets this one that was manufactured after 2010, that the organization is going to, you know, say that it's up to snuff when it comes to safety regulations. So there's still a chance he's going to have to switch completely. But at least he is there with the Raiders. I'm sure they were thrilled to see him. And I really appreciate that quarterback Derek Carr continues to keep a very positive attitude.
Yeah, they have to certify it and do all the procedures, but we are working with the NFL to make sure we're following all the procedures to be out there, man, in the right equipment.
You know, what's crazy is I feel very comfortable. I feel like I've thrown to him every day. You know, he comes out, you know, that one practice, he has three plays, there's two touchdowns, you know. And everyone's like, wow, well, they're on the same page. Well, we spent hours, you know, randomly at high schools. We spent hours randomly at the park. Yeah. We spent hours, you know, randomly just by ourselves throwing to where, you know, in my head, I was like, this is his 10th or 11th year. I was like, training camp, I don't think he'll have as many reps, right? You're trying to save his legs and things like that. But so I was planning ahead, not knowing that his feet and all those kind of things would be taking place. But comfortability is really high. And again, we still have a lot of weeks until week one.
That's true. There are still 3.5 weeks until we get to the kickoff of the regular season. And John Gruden has indicated he does expect that Antonio Brown will be out there on the field for week number one, which is awesome. Awesome for the Raiders and awesome for the NFL. I mean, he's still, despite all of the drama that swirls around him, like the dirt that swirls around Pigpen, he's still a great wide receiver. This is what's caused teams to put up with the extracurricular stuff, is that he's an incredible receiver with a lot of speed. He works extremely hard. Those things are not questioned. It's about some of the relationship stuff. It's about the diva behavior. It's about the threatening to retire, blah, 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 blah. It's about, this is not a game, people. Call me Mr. Big Chest Brown in the same Instagram post. No, still no. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. There is one NFL starting quarterback who might not be on the field in week number one, and it might be time to start worrying about Andrew Luck. This actually makes me nervous, and I can imagine how the Colts feel, how Colts fans feel. He's been nursing what we thought was a calf strain for a long time, going back to March, all the way through spring OTAs, all the way through various off-season activities, and then shut it down early in training camp. It's been a couple of weeks now. Calf, 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 calf. Oh, wait, it's a high ankle-ish issue. That's actually how Chris Ballard put it. High ankle-ish. And so Andrew Luck's been in charge of his own return. And the team has said that, whenever he feels like he can get out there without pain, well, then he'll get out there without pain. And so he's kind of been telling them when he's ready and what he can do and what he can't. Apparently, he's been describing it as lower leg, calf and lower leg. And now come to find out, it's the high ankle area, which makes this a whole lot more complicated. So that sucks. Sucks for a team that won 9 of its last 10 regular season games and won a playoff game last year. Sucks because they've got a team that's really primed and ready to build on what happened at the end of last season. And so we'll see. But Ballard says I don't think he said very, very possible, but he did say it's possible that Luck could miss the start of the season. We will not see him in preseason. That's not happening. So that's a bummer. Could he still get out there and play the season opener if he doesn't play in preseason? Sure. But gosh, it's because of his history, it's hard not to think how long is this going to stretch out and what happens to the Colts without him. It's not that far in the distant past that we remember what the Colts look like without Andrew Luck. After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. What's the most expensive thing or most sentimental thing in your car right now? Tim says my fishing poles and my tackle box. Could you imagine if the tackle box somehow got open and all of your, well, maybe you don't have live bait. I just remember when I went fishing, we had live bait and it grossed me out when I was 12 or 13 and I would go with my stepdad and we would go fishing and he would make me try to put the worms on the hook. This is back when you just use worms. Now there's all this high-tech stuff, right? No. I would be all squeamish and squirmy and scream every time I touch a worm. And then I stopped fishing for a short time in my life when I was 13 and I had a fish on the end of my pole and my pole was a cheap little thing and it broke in half and the fish took off with half the pole. That was really the end of my aspiring fishing career, but I do love to fish. But yeah, no, that was kind of the end of it for a while. Wayne says, I keep nothing valuable in my car. That's just asking for trouble. Yeah, I guess depends on where you live. In San Francisco, I kind of wish Alex Rodriguez knew the landscape and the fact that they've had major issues with smash and grabs and major issues with car theft over the past few years. They've even assigned more foot patrols in the area, more law enforcement to try to cut down, and it's working, but thousands and thousands and thousands of people. I think the number I saw for 2000, no, I'm not going to try to remember it off the top of my head. I read it in a column, and it's staggering, the number of car thefts that take place in the Bay Area. And so I wish he knew that. I mean, I wish he didn't have to go through this. Russ says my phone is the most expensive thing in my car. I mean, I've accidentally left my phone in my car before and then kind of had a freak out, like, where's my phone? And then gone immediately outside to get it. Let's see. James says the most valuable thing in my car is my sunglasses and my Kindle Fire tablet. Lots of you guys have sentimental stuff in your car, which I guess I understand, but doesn't that make you a little more able to empathize with A-Rod? Just think about it. He's on the road. He's got a few sentimental items with him that he doesn't want to take into dinner That makes sense to me. Why would you want to grab all your sentimental items and your jewelry that you probably wear on TV or for business meetings? You're not going to grab that and take it into dinner with you. I wonder if there was an alarm on the car. Maybe not if it was a rental car, huh? I mean, I feel like he could have rented one with an alarm system, no? I don't recall reading anything about that, but Brian just went ballistic, so I guess it's something that Brian thought about. Brian's in for Dave because Dave is out sick. Are you also wondering why there was no car alarm?
Yeah, because the guy's worth $1 billion. Any car that...
Is he?
No, but he's... I mean, hyperbolic, but it's close to $500 million. Like, there's no way that the car, whatever car he's renting, doesn't have a high-tech alarm system. And also, lock the doors, dude.
How do you know the doors weren't locked?
Someone really hacked into this high-tech SUV that the guy...
How do you know it was high-tech? It could have just been an
A-Rod.
SUV. It doesn't matter.
A-Rod's not driving around in a Toyota RAV4,
well,
okay?
No, but he was driving an SUV. It had tinted windows. How do you know? You can't just assume the doors were unlocked.
It's Alex Rodriguez. He's probably got this high-tech SUV souped up with a great alarm
system.
It doesn't
matter. Windows still break.
And also, who has $500,000 worth of anything on them?
I just told you why. You see, you refuse to take my reasoning for it, but if he's on the road for a long period of time and maybe he's got an expensive gift as, you know, maybe it's a watch from Jennifer Lopez. He's got a couple of things from his kids that are really important to him. He's got a laptop that he uses for work. He's got a camera because he travels all the time. He's got a bag that's expensive because he carries his stuff in it.
What's the most expensive bag? $300. I'm not adding up to $500,000.
Right, just because you can't identify with it. His watch might have been worth $100,000. You don't know what kind of watch this was. Either way, I can understand why he didn't take all this stuff with him into dinner. And I wish he would have put it in the trunk or something. But
or
come
leave
on,
it in the hotel room.
There's no. Maybe he didn't check into his hotel yet. Why are you being such a turd about this?
Because he had to have been checked. I don't know.
Making assumptions that are not fair. I don't think that's fair. Anyway, I feel bad for him, and I know we can't really identify with it because who among us? I feel like if you have a $200,000 watch, you're probably not listening to my show. We're a little low class for you. However, all of us have spent time living out of suitcases and living on the road, so then you keep more stuff in your car. So, Travis says the most sentimental thing in his car is his lunch. I can identify with that. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.